That is one of the challenges of colour. We think of it as something that exists out in the world, outside of us, but actually, it's made within.
Colour is inescapable. It envelops us from morning to night throughout our lives. It's capable of triggering a plethora of emotions, but why? Colour is such a potent feature in all of our lives, and yet most of us understand so little about the way it works. Dr. James Fox has explored these mysteries more than most. Throughout his career as a world-renowned art historian, author and BAFTA-nominated broadcaster, Fox has focused keenly on the cultural and historical significance of colour. Fox became fascinated with colour at an early age, and went on to gain a first in the history of art at Cambridge, where he now enjoys a fellowship after stints at Harvard and Yale. He's perhaps most notable today, though, for presenting acclaimed documentaries for the BBC, and as a respected commentator on 20th century and contemporary art. In 2023, his passion for colour culminated in his acclaimed book, The World According to Colour, A Mesmerising Cultural History. For this episode of Angles, we invited Dr. James Fox to the Italian island of Sardinia, whose famously blue skies and crystal waters inspired the paint treatment showcased on the opera Unica Hurrican Storato. The treatment uses a unique triple-layer crystal effect paint, specially developed by the groundbreaking Ad Personam department at Lamborghini, and results in a unique colorway with plenty of depth to explore.
I first fell in love with colour at the age of 6. Now, I know that sounds like a strange thing to say, but I remember the event very vividly. I was sitting in my parents' kitchen with my brother and sister. It was a very hot day, and this huge fly came in through the open window and rattled around the room for several minutes, and eventually, when it landed on the kitchen table, my mum rolled up a magazine and crushed it. And my brother and my sister and I, we did what children would do. We leaned in to examine the carcass, which was spasming in a pool of body fluid. And we all went, oh, that's disgusting. But then as I started looking at the fly, I noticed that it was covered in the most extraordinary colours, that its body was these emerald greens and sapphire blues. It had these burgundy eyes. It had these wings that were like miniature rainbows. And I remember thinking right then that if something as small and as insignificant and frankly as unpleasant as a fly could be that full of beauty and that full of colour close up, then I should really start looking at everything else more closely. And that's what I did really. Over the coming weeks, months, years, I scrutinised the colours of everything. I remember counting the reds in the roses and the greys in the clouds. And I discovered a few years later that if I went up to my room at night and closed the door and turned the light off and closed my eyes, I could jab my eyeballs and actually could generate colours from within my eyes. They're called phosphenes. But I suppose the more I thought about colour, the more questions I had, the more mysteries there were. You know, such as why is the sea blue but seawater transparent? You know, why does cooked beef turn brown but cooked chicken turn white? Why do we say that white spirit and white wine and white diamonds and white people, for that matter, are white when quite clearly they aren't? And it was that curiosity about colour, that sense of wanting to try to get to the bottom of its mysteries, that led me into the job that I do today as an art historian, looking at colourful things for a living. Philosophers often say that the most simple sounding questions are the most difficult to answer. In a way, we all think we know what colour is. Colour is around us on every side. It's with us from the moment we open our eyes in the morning to the moment we close them at night. It even seeps into our dreams. And we all know, even children know, the difference between red and green and yellow and blue and all the different colours. But when we have to try to define them, when we have to try to pin it down with words, we inevitably run into difficulties. And that is because I think at its core, colour is a profoundly mysterious phenomenon that raises all kinds of complex philosophical questions that we've never been able to answer. So for a long time, people thought colour was an objective property of objects, that the sky is blue, it's objectively blue, and the trees are objectively green, and so on. And then people started to think, no, it's not a property of objects, it's a property of light. It's part of the wavelengths of light and photons that rattle and bounce around us on the world. And now increasingly, we're beginning to see colour not as something that lives out there, but it lives inside our heads. It's a creation of our brains, the back of our visual cortex, and the back of our heads. And so we're increasingly thinking of colour as an overwhelmingly subjective experience. And the really fascinating thing about that is it means that everyone's colour experience is different. The orange or the yellow of a Lamborghini, whatever colour that Lamborghini may be one colour to one person, but a completely different colour to someone else, because we all have different perceptions. And that is one of the challenges of colour. We think of it as something that exists out in the world, outside of us, but actually it's made within. There are many challenges of colour. As someone who has spent 8 years of my life writing a book about colour, there are many challenges. One is the challenge of trying to understand what it is, where it exists, what it means. Another challenge is simply having to talk about it, because colour, like music, is one of those things that defeats language. The words aren't sufficient to describe it. But I think perhaps the biggest challenge that colour posed in human history is the technical challenge of having to make it. Colour is a kind of force. It's a force of nature. It's ephemeral, it's dynamic, it never stops changing. It's hard to grasp, it's hard to control. From 200,000 years ago when we started digging red ochre out of the ground, 100,000 years ago when we started to make the first fires in order to burn the first black charcoals, all the way through to Lamborghini trying to experiment with all these different colours, all these different finishes, there has been a quest and an urge that humans have had throughout civilization to make colours, to possess them, to control them. Colour is identity. Colour is who we are, and we are colour. Colour is made inside us, and it means a great deal to us. The colours we choose to wear, the colours we choose to paint our homes in, the colours we choose on our car, all of these things reveal profound insights into who we are. They tell us about our national heritage, our background, our culture, our personal preferences, our family, and our deepest aspirations and hopes. Colour is a perfect expression of who we are. Colour is not only a visual phenomenon. Colour seeps deep into our minds, deep into our bodies. It affects our minds, our moods, our behaviours, our physical experience of the world in very, very profound ways. And we know this from many, many studies that have been shown that, for instance, that red raises heart rates, increases electrical activity in the brain. It makes us more aggressive and more powerful. Blue is shown to relax people, to calm people down. Green has been shown to reduce rates of crime. So colour has a very profound effect on the way our bodies work and the way our minds work and the moods we feel. We describe our emotions through the metaphor of colour. If you go red with rage, or you feel a little bit blue, or you are green with envy, or white with fear, you are describing your emotions through the concept of colour. And it's also important to say that we do actually change these colours when we change our emotions. You know, when you get embarrassed, when you get lustful, when you get angry, the veins and capillaries around your face and your neck dilate, and blood actually fills to your face and you become actually red. So colour and emotion are impossible to separate from each other. I think it's difficult to not look at a bright yellow and not have your mood lifted. It's difficult to not look at a bright red car and not feel somehow violated by that red, because it's such a powerful colour. So colour affects us in all kinds of ways. Colour is, I think, our most powerful bearer of meaning after language. And in fact, it might be more powerful than language, because colour speaks across cultures. It speaks to people who don't share the same language, who can't read and write. It has this powerful ability to connect to us, not just on the surface, not just to our brains, but to our bodies, to our hearts, to every aspect of our being. And it can communicate immensely important emotional truths, but also cultural, social, and political realities as well. The world's favourite colour is blue, by a significant margin. Survey after survey after survey has shown that in every country in the world, blue is people's favourite colour, and by a long way. So I went into this project, writing my book, with a very unoriginal position, believing that blue was my favourite colour. But actually, I came out of it with a new favourite, and I think my favourite colour now is black. Because black is a deeply misunderstood colour. It's a colour we associate with darkness. It's a colour we associate with sin and with death. It's completely nonsensical. Black is actually not the colour of darkness. The colour of absolute darkness is grey. So if you go into a room with no light at all, you will not see black. You will see a pixelated grey, which is called Eigengrau. And in order to generate black, you need to add light. Black is a contrast effect. It's created by light. So I think black has been deeply misunderstood. It's not the colour of darkness. It's not the colour of sin. It's not the colour of death at all. It's actually an extremely rich, altruistic colour that makes every colour next to it even better and even brighter. You see in the Sterato, you see the blues on that car are made all the more explosive, all the more beautiful by the contrast with the black around them. For 60 years now, Lamborghini has been a pioneer in the use of colour. It has developed an enormous range of colours, an enormous range of finishes as well. There are matte finishes and carbon fibre finishes and fading finishes and camouflage finishes. And now it offers hundreds of colours, more than 400 different colours for customers to choose from, which is far in excess of any comparable company. When I saw the Huracan Stellato for the first time, I was really astonished, because it isn't just a car, it's a painting. It's an artwork. It reminds me of the great abstract pictures of Jackson Pollock and Eve Klein. And it's, in some ways, a symphony of blue. It's not just one blue, but three different blues brought together in this dizzying pattern that draw on the extraordinary blues of the sky and the sea in Sardinia and freeze them into liquid crystals. And so when you look at the surface of that car, which has so many layers of depth, you can see frozen water, you can see ice, you can see crystals, but you can also see the colours of the Sardinian coastline, the Costa Smeralda. It's rare to see extraordinarily vivid blue things in our world, even today. And so when you see something up close that has that level of depth in its blueness and that moves so quickly and so confidently through the landscape, it's a very exciting experience. I've always been fascinated by the visual. I've always been hungry for vision experience. There was a philosopher called Jean-Jacques Rousseau who once said that the hardest things to see are the things we see every day. And that is something that is a very important sentiment to me, because I think we go through our lives blind to the beauty and the majesty that exists often in very small and banal things. We overlook the miracle of the visual experience. And every colour is a miracle. Every colour is a little explosion, a tiny little detonation that only happens when mind and matter, when the physical world and the people who see it collide. It's a combination of science and poetry. It's extraordinarily profound and beautiful and joyful. But so often, especially in a world that seems saturated with colour, where colour seems to us to be cheap and easy and easily accessible, we don't realise actually how miraculous and wonderful it once was. And so when you look at the colour of a Lamborghini, whether it's the 400 choices that you have nowadays, from bright orange and bright yellow through to the crystalline effects that are just being developed right now, it's hard to realise what it was like for much of our history, when colour was really difficult to make and really difficult to obtain and really expensive and exclusive. And if someone from hundreds of years ago, even 100 years ago, had come and seen the array of extraordinarily intense, powerful colours that Lamborghini can offer, it would have sent emperors into raptures. It would have sent alchemists into raptures. People would have travelled the world to see such wonders. I think nowadays, because colour is everywhere and so easily accessible, we don't realise what a true wonder it was for much of our history.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Angles, a Lamborghini podcast. We hope you can join us next time. New episodes will be released regularly on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Lamborghini.com. Make sure you subscribe. And for more extraordinary conversations, you can also listen to our sister podcast, Beyond.